Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, when she was a kid, she loved to play with a little boy who was always at her aunt and uncle's house. The only thing was that he had died years earlier.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Why not share your real ghost stories with us? Because if you're listening, you probably have one. Call in anytime. It's 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You could become a premium subscriber, and when you do that, you can get commercial-free versions of the show. You'll get advanced episodes and access to the archive. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes, and Harper's with me today.
Hello, hello, hello.
Getting closer and closer and closer to Halloween, your favorite holiday.
It is my favorite holiday. I even have a pumpkin blanket right now. It's great.
I know. Every time I record with Harper, I see more Halloween stuff in her bedroom. Every week, I swear, you get another one or two little things.
I have pumpkins hanging off of my window. It's great.
Have you guys really decorated the home? I know your dad's been kind of working on it. How's that going? Are you pretty much done?
It's going great. It's horrifying because we bought animatronics and he placed them in random corners around the house. So at night when I'm just like wanting like a glass of water, they all go off and it's horrifying because some of them jump scare you. It goes like, la, da, 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 and then like lets out like a big scream and it's loud and kind of terrifying.
And then also terrifying for other people in the house because they're just sound asleep and then they hear la, 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 and ah! That's kind of paranormal right there, it feels like.
And we have one, we call her Creepy Penny because it has like a little teddy bear in his hands and like one part's attached to her and like the head of the teddy bear is like attached to her hands and then the body's like attached like in between her arms, and the animatronic rips the teddy bear's head off.
Oh, can you do a video of that and send it to me? I want to see it.
Yeah, I'll send that to you because it's creepy.
It sounds horrifying. Did you guys decorate the outside of the house too pretty good this year?
Out front, we have a horror clown. That it's motion detected, but I squeeze its like little like red nose and it goes off. And it's like, it's creepy. It really is.
That's very creepy. Because
it's like 6 feet tall.
You have to send me some pictures.
Oh, I will. Okay. Because it's pretty creepy.
Work on that this weekend. Send me some pictures. I want to see them.
Okay.
Well, here's our first story today. It says, I am 38 years old now. And I know that I'm sensitive to the other world and its occupants. This story is about how I became aware of all of it when it was made aware to me and how I've never been the same. The first thing that I need to stress, that I was raised in a truly vibrant and happy family. We always got together for every small milestone and event in almost every family member's life. At this time, there was no turmoil or strife. Pretty much nothing but love throughout. That sounds so perfect. My dad's brother and his wife, my new aunt of a few years, had finally moved back to the Metro Detroit area where the rest of the family resided, and we were having a housewarming party to celebrate. My aunt and uncle, being the social butterflies they are, had already met many of their neighbors as well as their children on their new street. The kids would come over to play in their driveway or backyard. That was great for my aunt and uncle as they had young ones of their own and they were very much family people themselves. I don't remember the specifics of that day, but I vividly remember the day of the party. All the kids from the family and neighborhood were over and playing in the basement, which was big and had a pool table and a bar area where we were all able to run wild as usual. The basement was somewhat broken up and not your typical open floor plan as it had been finished and made for entertaining. As you walked down the stairs to the basement, there was a long hallway that to the right led to the cellar and storage area, as well as an opening to the bar and pool room, to the left was the extension of the hallway and the opening to the furnace room, as well as the other opening to the other end of the pool slash bar room. Now, at that time, I couldn't have been more than 5 or 6. I loved animals and had just lost my first pet. And while at the party, I played with my aunt and uncle's dog, lovingly named Muttley, which I think is an adorable name for a dog, as they got her from the pound and had no idea what she was. Muttley had been hit by a car when she was very young, and she had lost one of her front legs, but was always so sweet and playful. So that day, I went to the basement, and Muttley followed me with her favorite ball in tow, and a little boy called me from the cellar and asked if he could play with my dog. I said, sure. And we walked into the cellar, turned, and got the ball from the dog and quickly flung it down the hallway for her to go and get. We played like this for a long time. The memory beyond our laughing and playing with Muttley from that cellar is fuzzy. I do remember many other parties after that and playing with the boy and the dog from the cellar. Fast forward to my 30s. We're at my same aunt and uncle's new home, many miles north. I had dinner with my sister and her husband, my cousin who is aunt and uncle's boy, who is now grown. We got on the subject of animals and how we all really missed Muttley and how she was such a sweet dog. I told my aunt the story of playing in the basement with her during parties and when my dad would bring me over to help my uncle at the house with projects. My aunt made a funny face and said that was impossible because Muttley would never go into the basement unless there was a party going on and a lot of people around. I said, well, she always loved going down there and playing with me and Charlie, the little boy from next door. It was then that her face went white. Katie, she said, Charlie didn't live next door. I asked them, where the heck did he live? Because he was always at the house whenever I came over. It was now that every hair on my body stood on end. I got goosebumps everywhere. He was the little boy who died in the original house ages ago. There had been a house fire and he had hidden in the cellar to get away and had died down there. The memories came flooding back from almost every occurrence with the boy. He had the same shirt on. He was always lying on the floor under the bottom shelf in that cellar. My aunt went on to tell me that he was a sweet ghost and he would always steal a cookie when she baked them and left them on the counter. It was during her story that I remembered walking into the house as a child and seeing Muttley race past the bottom of the basement stairs after her ball. She was playing with Charlie. This was when I realized that all my life I had been seeing people who were not there, talking to them and feeling them even though I can't see them. I have since been able to gain some control over it. I am a mom now and I don't want my kids to be affected negatively. I tell the spirits all the time they can speak to me, but please don't appear as it will positively freak me out. I have so many more stories to share, but we'll start with that as to explain how it all truly started. Love from Michigan, Katie. See, isn't that interesting? Like, you could be playing with a ghost and not know it when you're, especially when you're a kid, because how would you know? You just see it as a kid.
Exactly. And that's what's kind of creepy about it.
There's other kids in and out of the house, so here's just another little boy who lives next door. Why wouldn't he be over here?
Yeah.
And I don't think, too, as a kid that, like, as an adult, there would be some red flags there. I would be like, that boy is always wearing the same clothes. Is he being well taken care of, you know? Or why is he always laying underneath that shelf in the cellar? But as a kid, you might just accept those things.
Mm-hmm.
And does it make you wonder, too, like, you could see ghosts and not know it necessarily? How would
now,
you
that's
know?
The creepy part. Because, like, I don't think a ghost is, like, deliberately going to tell you, like, hey, I'm a ghost, just so you know.
And if he's a ghost in that house, you know, and other kids come over, he wants to hang out with them.
Yeah.
Because he's lonely, and that makes me sad. But then, you know, for her to go on and see them or experience them throughout her life, that's my thing is like, how do you know it's a ghost? Like, I think there's certain dead giveaways, haha, pun intended. But yeah. Things like, you know, oh, and then they disappeared. Like, where did he go? He was sitting right in that chair. Now he's not there. Like, those sorts of things. But what if it wasn't like that? What if it was a more normal interaction? Maybe we've all had experiences with ghosts and we just didn't know it. You know, you thought you were talking to somebody on the bus, or you thought, you know, somebody stopped by your house and that never happened. Kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
But I do think kids are very open to that. Because kids are open to it anyway, because kids so often see another kid and they gravitate towards each other and they're not afraid to walk up to someone they don't know and go, do you want to play? And as an adult, you don't really do that.
Yeah.
As an adult, we very rarely walk up to someone we don't know and go, hi, I'd like to meet you. You just don't.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's interesting. Here is our next story.
Hi, this is Haley, and when I was little, I had a dream about, well, actually, it wasn't really a dream, but it was sort of like, I think it was a dream, but then again, if, like, what happens at the end of my story makes it seem like it's real. So I was probably about, like, 5 or 4, and I woke up, and I was on the top bunk on my bed, and I woke up to the sound of something hitting the bars on my bunk bed. And so I wake up, and I see this tall person, all black, but with sort of orange or red eyes. And it was weird, because I was little, and so it was just weird, and I had no idea what to do, but for some reason, I was so little, so it didn't really confuse me. I don't know why. So for some reason, it told me to go down to the bottom bunk. So I did that, and I woke up the next morning, and I was asleep on the bottom bunk. And so I went to my parents and asked them, like, were you sleeping? Like, would you tell me to sleep in my bed last night? Because my parents had history of, for some reason, they, before they went to bed, they would try to scare me sometimes. They would, like, shake my bed, but that was my parents. So I asked them, I was like, did you, by chance, do that? And they said no. I asked both of them. They both said no. So that was really weird. I had another story. So when I was about the same age, I had one of those bath time Ariel dolls that could talk. And it ran out of batteries, so my dad took out the batteries. And sometime at random night, it started just going off. It starts talking to Flounder, because it was an Ariel. Disney Ariel doll, and it started talking to Flounder, and I don't know why, but it did. And I got freaked out, so I literally covered myself with a blanket because I thought it would protect me, and it was just weird. But that was my second story. You let me know what you think, and I would really like it if you guys put it on the show. Thank you. This is Haley.
Oh, Haley, she has had a couple really crazy experiences.
And first of all, bunk bed bell.
That first thing that she saw, tapping on the bunk bed, ding, 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 that was creepy.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that was.
I don't want to know what that was.
No. And then it was like, go down into the other bunk. I don't know what that was, but it sounds like it was just the one time she saw that. And maybe, I don't know, maybe you could say she was having a dream, didn't realize she was having a dream. But I don't know, you usually can figure out that was a dream. I was really woke up for this.
Yeah.
But then, you know, the thing about the toy, we've had so many stories exactly like that, where there's no batteries in the toy, or whatever it is unplugged. It needs electricity to operate, needs batteries to operate. How could it be speaking on its own? That is so creepy to me.
It is very creepy, and we've had a lot of stories like that. So it almost makes me think, like, I wonder what type of energy, like, this, like, entity is.
Yeah.
Like, is it good? Is it bad? Is it supposed to be doing something? Or in between the middle? Or why is it here? Like, what's... I would like to know the history on that house.
And why is it picking on the kid? Does the... Does Haley's mom and dad, I wonder if they've had experiences. I'd almost, if I was Haley, ask her. Because, like, she said their parents like to do funny things, like try to scare her at night and tug on the blankets.
That's mean.
That's mean.
That's,
because,
that's mean to do to your five-year-old.
Yeah. And maybe they're thinking they're doing it in a playful way. But I don't know. I think if I was her, I would ask the other people in the family, like, have you guys had anything weird happen? Like, did she tell her parents about the Ariel doll talking in the middle of the night? Because I'm just telling you, there's not a whole lot that's creepier than waking up in the middle of the night and hearing a doll that has no batteries in it talking.
Yeah, that's like the creepiest as it can get.
That's about as creepy as it gets. But I would recommend just talking to her family and just seeing if anybody else is having experiences. Or maybe it's all out of, maybe it's in that room. Maybe there's another room she could sleep in. I don't know. But I don't like that one. So if you have a real ghost story, we'd like to hear it. You can call in anytime, 855-853-4802, or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can also get ad-free versions of the show if you become a premium subscriber. You will also get advanced episodes and access to the massive archive. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.